is either you need faith and healing for yourself or for someone that you need. And that makes it a subject that requires teaching and emphasis. And that's why if you observe us over many years, either before we started Saints Community Church some approximately 9 years ago, or before then, we've always been emphasizing the subject of healing every year and the subject of faith. Because it's either, like I said, Brother Higgins said, it's either you need it for yourself or for someone. And one of the very reasons why we feed on the word includes others. As we listen for ourselves, we also listen to be able to communicate it and communicate it effectively unto others. So we'll look at the subject of healing, but the emphasis really is on faith and healing. So we'll, Exodus 15:26. Under the Old Testament. And this is God speaking, and this is Moses, you know, who had the law, but he spoke as a servant of God. And this is what he said. And said, if thou wilt hearken or diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do all that is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healed thee. The word am is italicized, and I'll tell you why. He said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. So he makes a declaration of himself, and that's under the old covenant. He says, I am the Lord. Like I said, the word am, as A-M, is italicized. The Lord that healeth thee. And so you discover that in the old covenant, there were different things God was spoken of by his prophets as, even in this same book, Exodus 6:2, go there quickly and you will see something about his names. How important are or is the fact of when he says, I am someone or I am something. It passes across a message that we mustn't lose sight of. Now go to Exodus 6:2. In Exodus 6:2, just a couple of chapters before, he's speaking with Moses, and he says, I, the Lord. Notice again the word am is italicized, and there's a reason for that, because the originals, if you have it, if am is in the original, then that's a repetition. Okay, so he said, I am the Lord. I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. He said, by my name Jehovah. Notice he said, by my name Jehovah did I not reveal myself. No, he said, was I not known? In other words, they saw me. Now, don't make the mistake that that was the first time God will be addressed as Jehovah. It couldn't be. Because even just a couple of chapters before, Exodus 3:14, when Moses said, what do I say? You are. He said, say, I am that I am. And that's actually the word Jehovah, or better still, Yahweh in the Hebrew, which really has no vowels in it. But, you know, it's a lot of controversy in that, but not the point has nothing to do with the spelling, but what it means. So he said, I am that I am. So he has said that to Moses before Exodus 6:2. Are you listening? Are you listening? Okay. And there's relevance to that. Now, prior to that, you find that he spoke about Abraham. And in Genesis chapter 17, you'll find him speaking to Abraham. He says, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me, and you'll be perfect. Like I mentioned earlier, In Genesis 2:4, Genesis 2:4, you find Yahweh, that's Jehovah, Greek, used when it says, "In the day the Lord God made the earth and the heavens." You find Yahweh used there. So it wasn't like that's the first time he will mention or the name Yahweh will be used in Exodus 6:2. But it's by revelation. That is, before now, what they were familiar with and what they were relating with was Shaddai. Shaddai means, in common language, it means double-breasted. Someone that has the capacity. That's what it means. So, the figurative is for a double-breasted person, someone who has capacity. So, he's saying, I was known as Almighty, Shaddai. But by my name, Yahweh, which is Jehovah, was I not known? Okay? Now, why did he say that? What about a name? Okay? What about name? Why did he say that? Because the word Yahweh connotes a very important fact of God. Just like when Moses asked, "What do I say that you are? How can I just go somewhere and say, someone said, say, who do I say you are?" They say, "I am that I am." The Hebrew is a bit clearer. It goes like this. I am who I am, and I'll be what I will be. In other words, I self-exist. I am independent of anyone. That is quite an important description of God. That is, I don't require help or support. Okay? I exist all by myself. I am what I am. And I will be what I will be. And I've explained to you a couple of times that really, of course, a couple of people have taken what you call sovereignty out of that. And they say the sovereignty of God, God can choose what he wants the way he wants it. Quite true. But you see, his sovereignty, which people talk about, is for salvation. He said this because of salvation. Now, I've explained this to you before, that the reason for this statement is because he will be a man much later. That's the reason for that statement. I am. The reason why he declared himself as Yahweh is to let us have a prelude of the incarnate person of Jesus. Very simple. If you look at Genesis chapter 3, immediately that man fell into sin. It said the seed of the woman, which is debatable, the seed of man, the seed of woman, same thing, will bruise the head of the serpent. In other words, you know, God's already speaking ahead of time of his incarnation. So that follows what he says to Moses, I am that I am, and I will be what I will be. It doesn't mean I will be evil. No. That name is for salvation. You still there? Are you still there? Are you good? Because I will be what I will be is a stronger word. In other words, he's letting them see what he has the capacity to become. So when I say, I will be what I will be. Now John gives us a clear picture. He says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him made anything that was made. In him was life, and life was light of men. The light shines in darkness, darkness couldn't comprehend it. Now, the strength of those statements is in 14 John 1. And the Word became. Just exactly what he said. I will be what I will be. The Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. So the need, you see, the reason for the revelation of the name Yahweh is to see the incarnation of God in man. The almightiness of God is actually best displayed in his humanity. I'll go over that one more time. The almightiness of God is best seen in His humanity. It was in His humanity that we found out His character. It's in His humanity that we knew what He doesn't do. It's in His humanity that He did what He planned to do in the earth, in His humanity. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse, if you start from 17, Paul is praying that the eyes of understanding may be enlightened, that may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, verse 18. And then 19, that's talking about the resurrection of Christ, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards what that believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised them from the dead. Now, He says, exceeding power. Exceeding great. And I've told you before, those are the largest concentration of the words for power in the entire Bible. And when was it displayed? It was displayed in the humanity of God. So when He said, I am that I am, I will be what I will be, He's speaking ahead of time of redemption. Are you following this? Let me see if you're following this. Come on. Are you hearing this? Good. So it's not, I will be a bad guy tomorrow. I will be a good guy today. That's not God's sovereignty. That's an absolute error that has been in the body of Christ for a while. And I thought we've handled that already. So if you are still in that error, you haven't been on Living Word Media. That's all. That's what it means. Right? Am I correct? That's what it means. Okay? So, now, when He said that, I will be what I will be. So, He's speaking, though He had said that to Moses before. That's why I said the word, I am Jehovah, is a tautology. Alright? So, I am, that I am, that I am, that I am. You get it? So, that's why I am is in italics. Okay. So, when it says, I am, okay, it said, by my name, Jehovah, I was not known. So, His names are actually revelation. His names are revelation in the Old Covenant. His names, they are descriptive and a revelation. Hallelujah. When Abraham said, he'll call this place Jireh, which we call Jehovah Jireh. And people say, Jehovah Jireh, my provider, His grace is sufficient for me. My God shall supply all my need. You can ask them, where do you get that from? How do you think this Jehovah Jireh, my provider for money? And they say, well, Abraham was looking for what? Was he looking for money? No, but he wasn't looking for money. You decided to make him money. What Abraham was saying there was what Jesus said in John 8. Alright? Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it, and he was glad. John 8:56. Are you still out there? Now, what happened was, Abraham had a teaching meeting with God. And in that meeting, Isaac was a parable. But Abraham and God knew that nobody was going to die on Mount Moriah. They both knew. Alright? But you see, the writing makes you feel like, oh, you know, they both knew. Okay? So there were two things happening there, and I've explained that to you before. So Abraham goes in there. He's growing spiritually. Okay? That's what he's doing. He's growing spirit. He's taken to another level of knowledge. And then he says, the Lord Himself, Abraham said, the Lord Himself will provide a lamb. He's still out there. He Himself, that is, I am, Himself will provide a lamb. And so, when the ram was shown, he said, I call this place Jireh. Which means, the word Jireh actually means what you call providence. To put something to provide ahead of time. So, he wasn't referring to things. He was referring again to redemption. The Lord sees. That is, ahead of time, there is a provision for man's sins. Are you still out there? Alright, so that's the word Jireh. So, in every instance, there was revelation in the names of God. Now, in this instance, I said to you, we said, I am that I am, and I will be what I will be. Glory to His name. I said, glory to His name. So, Jesus comes, in Matthew 1:21, go there. And the angel, and I've always told you, be very careful of the kind of communication that angels give you. Alright? Angels are not Bible teachers. Are you still there? Alright. What did the angel say to Mary? Angel, the Holy Ghost will overshadow you, and the holy thing that shall be gotten of you. You could see that he himself was just trying to get it. That's the angel. Alright? Angel was just trying to figure out what was he. The angels are not Bible teachers. Remember when Jesus was taken up to glory in Acts 1 and verse 9. And then the other girl looked up, looking like Elijah. And then they said, why are you gazing like this? The same Jesus, the same way he was taken away. Right? He will come again. You know, but they never mentioned the church. Praise God. And so when the Holy Ghost was given, or when the Holy Ghost began to teach, better still, 1 Corinthians 15:51, I show you a mystery, we shall not all sleep, we shall all be changed. Then, 1 Corinthians 4, Paul says, we shall be caught up in the air with the Lord. So the angels got it wrong. Or maybe still, they didn't get it perfectly right. He's still there. And so, you know, be careful. Utterances from angels. Is that okay? Well, that angel that spoke to Paul, he said, be of good cheer. You know, nobody will die here. All right? We shall preserve just you and the folks to be alive. That's all. That's all angels is. You don't expect the angels to give you revelation knowledge. Is that okay? The Bible says the angels were designed to look into it. 1 Peter 1:12-13. Remember that? Okay? So every time you read things that angels say, don't make it doctrinal. Alright? Angels are students. Do you hear me? Angels aren't Bible teachers. He didn't give gifts unto men, he gave them angels. Right? Alright, so men teach angels. Say that after me. Not just any kind of man, men that are born again, alright? Say men teach angels. Very fine. So if you see an angel on your way home, make sure he's not teaching doctrine. Is that clear? Right, let's go on. So, in Matthew 1:21, the angel said, you shall call his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. He will save his people from their sins. Interestingly, when he said his people, the angel was referring to who? Israel. Again, don't take angels verbatim. Is that okay? But the point is, the name was Yeshua, which is Joshua. The name Jesus wasn't the new name dropped from heaven. It was a name that had been existing for a while. The name Joshua and the name Jesus were one and the same. But translators, for the sake of reverence, okay, removed, they altered it just to make it look different. So you have Jesus and Joshua. But there was a slight omission in Hebrews 4, I think verse 11, where the King James says, if Jesus had given them a rest, then a promise of another rest would have been given to them. So in other words, they just let it go. You get it? Because the Greek words were the same, the Hebrew words were the same, they just left out Jesus, because I never referred to Joshua. Are you following me? So when it's in the name of Jesus, you actually say in the name of Joshua. Now don't get scared about that. Okay? In the Greek is Jesus. And so really, when you say the name of, we're not necessarily referring to, when you say, for instance, some people change their names. You say, my name is just Jabez. You know, remember Jabez? You know, Jabez wanted his name to be changed. And all that. So names for revelation, now this is here, notice this. Names for revelation stop in the old covenant. Okay? We'll look at that later, but just notice somewhere. Names were ever stopped in the old covenant. But that was how God related with them, by names. So he says, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, so there's an importance in revelation. Who is a person? What is he called? Now, in Matthew 3:17. God the Father, okay, Well, I don't like to use that word. God or Father God. Well, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. Same thing. He said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Did you discover that there was no other name God called Jesus but my beloved Son? He didn't call him Lion of the Tribe of Judah. He didn't call him Fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He didn't call him Lily of the Valley. Bright Morning Star. This is my beloved Son. And in case you didn't hear that the first time, in Matthew 17:5, he told in the presence of Elijah and Moses, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." So, why Jesus is called the Son? The Son. He said the Son. Why did he say that? Here's Peter. Peter says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son," Matthew 16, in 16:17, "the Son of a living God. Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, my Father who is in heaven." Why? Father's revelation is Jesus is the Son. My Father which is in heaven. That means the Father's revelation, he is the Son. Why? Do not forget, God became flesh. Okay? God became flesh. The Word. And then, that's the Son. Now wait. Go to John's Gospel quickly. Praise the Lord. Before you get there. Now, that's what the Father called him. I said that. I want to reiterate something. And that's where, in other words, that's where the revelation is. The Son. Remember, that's exactly how Satan came. He said, "If you are the Son of God." How did Satan know? Because the prophet said it. Satan would not have known if the prophet, that is John, didn't say it. Okay? Yeah? Okay, so he said, "If you are the Son of God." So he goes after that revelation. Hebrews 1 and 2 says, "As in this last day spoken how? In the Son." In the Son. Okay? "Whom he had appointed heir of all things, through whom he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image," hallelujah, "of his person." In John 10:30, Jesus said, "I and the Father, we are one." Because by speaking of being the Son, he already confers deity and divinity on his status. John 1:14 says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." John 1:18 says, "No man has seen God at any time." Okay? That's what he said. "Save the Son of God, who is begotten of the Father, which is the bosom." So, you have the Son is the revelation of God. That is the revelation, not a revelation. The Son is the revelation of God. The Son of God. Which speaks of his humanity. Do not forget that. Just like Peter said. So I want you to put that somewhere because we're coming back there. So when he's talking to Moses, let's look at it again. He's saying to Moses, "So what do I say that you are? I am that I am, and I'll be what I'll be. I am Jehovah. I am Yahweh. And by my name, El Shaddai, was I known to your fathers, but by my name Jehovah was I not known." Exodus 6, 2 and 3. Matthew 3:17. He's talking to the last prophet of the Old Testament. Last prophet. And he says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Then again, in case you didn't hear that, in Matthew 17:5, here you have Moses, figuratively, and then Elijah. And he says, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased, hear him. In other words, in the son is the message. Hear him. Hallelujah. Which the message years back, hear the song. Hear him. Okay? So, that said, when he's talking to Moses, and he says, I am that I am, and I will be what I will be, Moses himself is learning. Are you still there? He's learning. So Exodus 15:26, one more time, let's see. So after he had said that, in other words, they had heard Yahweh before. I told you he's in Genesis 2:4. Obviously Exodus 3:14. So he's about to talk about healing to Moses. Or through Moses. He says, I am what I am and will be what I will be to heal you. Are you listening? That healeth thee. So, he's letting Moses see something and the people about himself. Exodus 15:26. Now quickly, look at this. This is vital. The word healeth, you know, has two words that, you know, make it make sense. One of them, where it was taken from, is, the spellings are very similar, but they are not the same. It's Rapha, R-A-P-H-A, but has an H behind it. It's after it. It's an H after the A. The first one is Rapha without an H. Now, Rapha without an H is taken from Rapha that has an H. Because Rapha that has an H has to do, it's more descriptive. It's something that consumes, takes away. Sometimes it's used for violence. Something that consumes, that takes away something, executes, like I said, it has both negative and positive connotations. However, here, it is the word Rapha, used back then for physicians to cure, to mend. That's a doctor. Is that okay? Is that clear? It's so funny that doctors, where the word doctor, Rapha, was used for God, which was then used for physicians, but pharmacist was used for magicians. I think I've taught you that before. Father, I cleared it. Huh? Magicians and those that do jazz. Not Professor Pella kind of magic, the kind of one that does jazz. But let's leave that, alright? Okay. Rapha, you know some folks are so funny. After saying that, say it now. They'll go and be finding out. Curiosity doesn't lead to revelation knowledge. I've always told you that. Curiosity makes you see things you shouldn't see. And you become what you never planned to become. Is that clear? So I was asking one day, he said, sir, there was one teaching that you said you will not talk about this now. Sir, this is how we said it just 4 years back. I believe I can take it. Tell me. I said, get away. That's the best thing to say. Now, so watch this, escape. Now, also, I try to look at it because there's a contradiction in that statement. Who can see that contradiction? Look at it. I am, that is who I am a physician, right? I am the Lord that healeth, Rapha. Now, what's the contradiction there? It's a contradiction in verse 26. Look at it. Don't be scared, it's the old covenant and it's Moses. What's the contradiction in there? Who can tell me? You know what's contradiction? You guys, that's contradiction. You can't be a Rapha and put sickness on people. Is it okay? So that means there's a problem in that construction. Now, Hebrew scholars, let us see that in the Hebrew, just like we have in normal languages, we have causative and permissive. If I say something like, I saw him go, and I pushed him to go. You know, there are two different things, right? One, permissive, or I am, better still, I'm inactive, right? The other one, I am active. Now, in the Hebrew, it was mixed up in there. I will not put on, because the word put in Hebrew also to an active word, sum, S-U-M-S-I-M. That's an active word. Okay? That's an active word. So, I will not put. Alright? Look at it. I think some of you are looking at me. Maybe because I didn't. Okay, let's do it together. Exodus. Are you there? Come on, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I brought upon the Egyptians. Okay, he said, I will not put which I put. I will not put which I put. Okay? So it's an active tense. So that means you cannot be putting and then be called a Rapha. So it calls for caution, and then that caution is that if we are going to put the language used there in today's language, we will say, I will not allow that which was put upon the Egyptians. Okay? Or, which I disagree with the use of the word allow, not because it's wrong, but I would rather say, I will not put on you the diseases which were put on the Egyptians. Because the second I will, which was brought, I brought, is inactive in the Hebrew. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand? So I will put I, apart from the fact that I have, the benefit of knowing now from the new covenant that God wasn't the one who did it. So I would say, I will not put the disease that was put on the Egyptians on you. For I am, okay? So I will be the one. Now, I am the Lord that healed you. I'm introducing myself to you. So that means I will be the one that will not put on. Are you listening? Come on. Should I go over it again? There's a contradiction in the presentation there. You cannot be a Rapha and be putting sickness on people. Ever seen an hospital like that? Well, some clinics like that. They call them, what kind of disease get in the hospital? It's a name for it. Sickness get in the hospital. You say, well, the point is, since you have come here and I found out you're okay, but I found out that you've not been taking water well. So I will give you some, maybe asthma, so that the next time you take the water well. You don't wait, do you? You don't say, don't do it again. Don't try to say that nonsense. You don't know how he's going to do it. So you better just find your way out of the place. So you cannot be called Rapha and be put in sick. Do you get it? It's a contradictory term. And you see, the reason why it's like that in the Old Covenant is because they never had a revelation, not a single one, of Satan. Are you listening? Are you following me? So the revelation of God there will be, I will not put sickness on you as what was put on the Egyptians. I am the Lord who takes sickness away. Is that clear? Let me see how that's clear now. Come on, let me see how. Is that clear? I am the Lord who takes sickness away. Clear? Is that clear? Good. So, I am the Lord. Alright? Now don't forget the word, now the word Rapha also means, in Hebrew, in the old Hebrew language, is also used for to prevent. Okay? You know, I thought, I don't know who explained this. Maybe it was T.L. Osborne. I don't think. I've forgotten who did. That the word is actually closer to the word immunity, like where you take vaccination. Remember when I was to take vaccination? I don't know if most of you took it. When you took it? Well, when I took mine, there was a big machine. Who took it something like that? And I cried. And I felt, Lord. And you know, somehow it was my cousin, senior cousin, who took me there. She didn't make it better. She said, he's not going to pay you so well. She had already told me about pain. Now suddenly he's not going to pay you so well. I see a machine. Ah! And the mark is still there. You have a mark? I think it's here. To show you that you cannot have yellow fever? What else? Later was hepatitis B, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H. So in other words, so they said, and I think it's true because physicians of those days did not just cure, they also prevented. Okay? So, there's a prevention there. And I actually will, now how many of you think that we should stay with prevent? Why? I thought you'd be thinking. Why should we say we prevent? Look at the text. I will not put that which was put. Alright? So there is, first of all, an history of how sickness came to a people, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. So it has more to do with its definitions of prevention than cure. Do you understand that? Very good. So, let's move forward a bit. Now, so, he has introduced himself, you know, but this was never clear until Jesus came. It was when Jesus came, that glory be to God, we started hearing demons on the scene. You didn't see demons before then. You think it was someone's sin. Until Jesus, in Matthew 8:16, the Bible says he cast out the spirit with his word. Woo, woo, sickness. Sickness. Every time you look, if you look at Luke 4, Mark 4, sorry, Luke 4, Matthew 4, Matthew 9, Luke 4, 40 to 44, or so thereabout. And then Matthew 4, 23, Matthew 9, 35. When you look at the healing ministry of Jesus, you will always find, and he cast out devils. He healed the sickness and cast out devils. So, they've been there all along. But you see, because there was no revelation of demons, they won't even know. So, we're going to see that much later. If you look at the book of Acts 2, you'll find demons, Acts 5, pardon me, 12 to 15. Peter shall define demons were cast out. Acts 19:11 too. Same thing in 12. So, it says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Are you still there? Are you there? So, God reveals himself as who? Huh? That's not in the Bible. As a healing God. Right? As a physician God. He reveals himself as a healing God. That's what he is. Now the word, you find that word again. You Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And verse 2. And forget not all his benefits. The word benefits is a Greek word. Shamu. It means Hebrew word, sorry. I mean Greek words. Hebrew word semu, it means reward, a duty. A duty. A service. Forget not all his services. And one of his services, again, says, who forgives you all your iniquities and heals you, praise God, of all thine diseases. Rapha. Of all thine diseases. So, he is not a consultant specialist. He's an all-round healer. Praise God. And there's some doctors here. If you tell them, say, I don't specialize in this. Can I call social and so person? You get it? Can I call social and so, you know, person? I don't specialize in that. I say, well, I'm a gynecologist. Yeah, sometimes I find out that the more they specialize, the less they know of those basic things. Because I've seen a couple of them before. I used to work with a man who was, an epidemiologist. So he had, you know, quite some research in the world. The known is well known. But when we talk about basic things in medicine, he just says, well, you know, it's been a while. He likes complicated things. And I'm thinking, you simple things, you don't know. Complicated things, you're happy. You know, I don't want to have complicated problems. You don't know why would I make you my friend? Because you have a solution to complicated things. You get it? But that was kind of doctor he was. Specialist in terrible things. You know, he hardly knows what to do if you have an headache. He said, well, you know, he said, no, just take this and I said, but you're a doctor. I said, well, I'm a doctor, but I specialize when there's an epidemic. Huh? So you'll be my friend when there's a breakout of something. If I say, there's Ebola, he's happy. He gets on the field. I said, what? So, in other words, healing is an office to God. Okay? It's an office, a function to Him. So it's not a question of, is God willing to heal? That's a very funny question to ask. God is a healer. And I like what a preacher once said one time, bless me. He said, got my attention there, you know, and like Brother Hagin once said, there was a fellow who was teaching all sort of nonsense, but somehow he made one good sentence. And that sentence got him thinking. This same preacher he had said a lot of things. In fact, he was talking about some very, very awful things. But he said something that blessed me. He said, if I cannot trust God about healing, why should I trust Him that He has forgiven me? You know, I've been disputing what he was saying, but I heard that, oh, that's some truth. Even a stop clock can be right at least twice a day. Isn't that true? So I said, that's true. If you say, he said, I'm the Lord, I'll heal thee, but He just can choose in this instance not to heal you. And you say you are saved. You know what that means? He just can choose. And just like He didn't tell you the first time, you just get to the book of life. And they say, He was here. The secondary school before you write, John Wuzeri. Seen that before? In my secondary school, we had those up to the 60s, Wuzeri. So you just say, Samuel was here in the book of life. So what happened? What happened? That is why I'm Jehovah. I will do what I will do. Unquestionable, you are the Lord. Can you question it? He can say, I have forgiven. Then he says, I said it. But somehow last night, I was meditating. So I said, no more. That's quite some trouble. Isn't that true? So if I can't trust Him on healing, why should I trust Him on salvation? Praise God. Some truth in there, right? So God and healing are so close. Catherine Kuhlman says you cannot believe in God and you don't believe in healing. How can you? You cannot believe in God and you don't believe in miracles. You can't believe in God, but I don't believe in miracles. Some guys believe in the doctors more than they believe in God. Praise God. In Jesus' ministry, we're going to look at this later, 20% of all his activities, in fact, let me say this, 20% of his words were about healing. Four Gospels. 20% of his words were about healing. 20% of his word were about healing. That is, if you take all the words of Jesus, all his sermons, 20% of the things he taught, the things he said, the things he mentioned, and his actions were around healing. Praise God. How best do you want to see Rapha? And I don't think anybody came and he said, what's wrong with you? See, I've got this gold back on my head. I did it for my glory. Never said that. Did he? See, I did it for my glory. So that all men will know that I am he that was. Who is and is to come. Not some folks are like that. They are worshiping God for who he is not. Lord, I may not have all the answers, but I know you know everything. You know, there's a way you can say that positively, and you can say it negatively. You know everything. What can we do? What can we do? I can never trust that kind of person. That he can just wake up one morning. He has a bad mood. So what's going on, God? I'm sorry. Wrong timing. You get? He's just had a bad mood. Then he's happy. He says, oh, happy day, God. Oh, yeah, yeah, happy day. Here, high five. Then another 5 minutes. Oh. God, what's up? Sir, you are a man. You cannot understand. We die, we're in the God category. We don't talk like man. So Jesus, quickly look at this. Matthew 4:23, his first miracles outside the marriage of Cana of Galilee. Matthew 4:23, Mark 1:32, note it. Luke 4:38, that's what I was quoting earlier. Luke 4:38. And you see that the first ways he announced himself was through healing the sick. In Peter's sermon, he says, how God approved Jesus Christ amongst you with signs, wonders, and miracles, Acts 2:22. Then Acts 10:38 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So, Jesus' presence on earth was good enough for us to see the character of God as touching healing. Healing the sick. Healing bodies that have been diseased. No one will doubt, if you read through the four Gospels, no one will have a single doubt, an iota of misconception to know clearly that Jesus is a healer. No one will. No one will have an... There's no way. How do you want to say it? I just told you, 20% or about more than that of his words were about healing. How do you want to... How do you want to... In what way? I was talking to a brother who were, and I have a way of getting all these folks that their theology can be whacked. He was saying, you see, there should be a departure. Sorry, there has been a departure from true Christianity. And so why? He said, Christianity without a cross. Their own cross is not the cross that Jesus died on, the cross that we should all carry. And I said, if you observe, and I said, if you observe in the four gospels, it says to take up his cross. All right? But if you go into the epistles, the word his cross doesn't exist again. Praise God. It's now our cross. You look at it. It's very true. Very true. That's why Sinatra's song, take up your cross, we said lay down your life. Praise God. Because we are not carrying any cross anymore. We have been crucified with Christ. Amen. Now we live. Praise God. Hallelujah. You see that? So the cross is not there. And I said, before I got there, I said, I agree with you. Say the cross. Nobody is preaching that doctrine of self-denial. He that will follow me must hate his father, his mother, his family. Leave behind his evening. And he's going back home that evening. Kind of funny hypocrite. Well, I let him land because, you know, I just said, that's true. Self-denial is not right there. Say, what more things are? Say, what? What about all these miracles too? They're not there. Say, it's true. Yeah, well. So you believe miracles now. That one. Jesus did those things so that they will know that he's the Son of God. That's dishonest. Everything should be put together. The cross, denial, and the power. Not true? Some guys say, let us go back to the days of the apostles. They forget the apostles' power. You get it? So you cannot read about Jesus, and then you will not see that he's a healer. How do you want to? In what way? How can you say you are preaching Jesus a whole year, and then sick and not getting healed? So, well, what Jesus are you preaching now? Said the Jesus you are talking about, the NAFDAQ number expired 20 AD 40. So when they were renewing it, like many of you have renewed your salvation before, you renew it. It expired after like 6 months. You're not feeling it. Like the first time, you're not feeling the things. Let me go out there. So you felt it again. After a while, all the feelings just died. You say, oh, then I told myself, I said, well, if the rapture happens, at this point, I will get it. I will find my way around it. You know, when you have a way of, when you're in Lagos, you know how to enter Molu. I say, I will enter. I say, Otolore is beside me. He's a serious Christian. I will hold his leg. We'll have to go together. So you see, he didn't renew his license. He is the same person, praise God. So healing also, don't forget, reveals Christ to us. He reveals the person of Jesus. Do you notice something intriguing? Quite intriguing. Was that Jesus was being captured. And the soldiers, including Marcus. Marcus was probably, what do you call this, recruit. Because how can you are still there and they brought out the sword and you are looking. And they went on dream soldier and now cut your hair. And you tactically maneuvered. He removed the sword, come in here, whoop! Jesus in captivity, to know he can't stand sickness, he healed it. Mark also. Then you say, I thought he would say, God has a way of showing himself. No, he didn't. Jesus took the ears of Marcus. You see that in Luke's Gospel 22 verse 51. And then he healed it. Right there. You know, he didn't, he just touched his ear and said, come out. So Marcus was seeing the other ear down. A new one here. He just said, what's this one? My old ear. And a new one. This is my old ear. Yeah. This is a new one. It's a testimony that I went to capture Jesus. He is really Lord. So, right there. That is, he's been captured. He's a healing Jesus. He's been captured. Praise God. How much more does he want to demonstrate to you that healing his ability? Hallelujah. In Matthew 15, 26, look at that. He's talking to the Syrophoenician woman. Matthew 15. Look what it says. She's asking for healing. It is not meet, he says to her, to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Now the word bread in the Bible is not necessarily loaf of bread. Okay? There's bread too, but not all the time. Okay? Bread sometimes just means food. Okay? Is that okay? Alright. But when I say they broke bread, it's not like people think it's communion. They call it communion. They broke bread is that they shared food. That's what it means. So, he's saying healing is the children's meal. Praise God. Hallelujah. Say healing is our food. Say one more time, healing is our food. So healing is the children's food. Healing belongs to us. Praise God. Why? Because our Father had said it to Moses that his character is healing. Our Father said that to Moses. In the incarnation, he demonstrated it. So the truth is, we must see healing as part and parcel of the character and the nature of God. If you say he's a forgiving God, you don't doubt that. Say he's a forgiving God. He forgives sickness. Sin. But see, he's as much as a forgiving God as he's also a healing God. And many folks, you know, sometimes get these things really twisted. I mean, really, really twisted. And that's why people's experiences can be very difficult. Some folks have a very funny experiences. I was talking to a fellow and he was battling a condition. And he said, someone told him to take money. Seed. Say, can't you seed your healing? There are doctors out there. Seed your healing. They go and look at what he told him to do. This will baffle you a little bit. Go and look for someone who has the same sickness. Not lay hands, give him money. So I said, what's that supposed to mean? That is a propitiation. Go and give him money. So when you give him money, then you are provoking the mercy of God. What kind of a picture are you painting? The God you're talking of is his Father. So his Father says, go out there, look for anybody. Well, this is your problem. Let me see whether you care for them. When you care for them, I will care for you. Now, he won't give you money. He will give you healing. How come you are not giving healing to those folks for him to give you healing? I don't think you're getting what I'm saying. But you see, people are all those kind of things that you say, well, that's how I got healed. That's how I got my healing. That's how I got my healing. Now, why we got that's because the person was asking me, he said, I've heard you've battled the sickness before. And then you got healed. I want to know your experience. I first took like 30 minutes to explain. Testimonies are difficult too. Testimonies is not the word of God. He said, I know. Just say it. Okay. Testimonies are like this. Testimonies can be like this. I said, for example, when had God healed what so and so must have told you? Well, that was a while back. I didn't know as much as I know today. The key thing for me that day was I just didn't want to die. It was as simple as that. My faith had no other locus but that fact. And I said it was strong enough to get me healed. So he said, hey, tell me how you were feeling. Aha. How were you feeling? There's so many things I can't remember that happened 24 years ago. I can't remember. For instance, I can't remember the test I passed in school or failed. So what did you score? I said, did you tell your kids you scored 100? Every parent was first in class. My brother asked my dad one day, he said, if all of you were first, I didn't dare ask this kind of question. You were all brilliant. All of you. I used to lead my class, all parents. I used to lead my class. I was never second. So everybody in the class had first position. Praise parents. Now, okay, I said that to say this. So, you know, sometimes people's testimonies, say that's how the person in his own case. And I said, experiences will always differ with individuals. And so you mustn't take people's experiences and try to reproduce them. So let's see a few things. Now, we'll look at some individual accounts and then we'll stop today. Matthew 8. You learning something? Still out there? Matthew 8. And when he was come down, verse 1, from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper who worshipped him. Worshipped him simply means he fell at his feet. Lord, if thou wilt, can you make me clean? Okay, so that's healing. He asked a question. Very first question. And Jesus answered and said, look. Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. Did you notice that the man initiated something? He said something. And then immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Now, a clearer one is the next one. The centurion. The centurion came and said, Lord, verse 6, my servant lies at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. I will come and heal him. Please note that, that's vital. Now, if Jesus had gone to his house, the servant would have been healed. Now, we agree. Come on, let me see if you agree that. If he had gone to his house, the servant would have been healed. But then the man responded and said, watch this. I know what either thou you come under my roof, but speak the word only, and you, my servant shall be healed. Then he explained what he meant. I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth. I say to another, come, and he comes. And to another servant, do this, and he doeth it. So, that means, Jesus was going to his house. Or say he didn't have to. He didn't have to. Now, if he had gone to the fellow's house, the servant would have been healed. But he didn't have to. He would have touched the servant. But he didn't have to. The guy said, just say where you are. In other words, your words will have as much effect, if not more, as your presence. Note that, because it's coming out vital later. So Jesus said, wow. That's how it sounded. I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. There are two times Jesus marveled in his ministry. He marveled at unbelief, Mark 6, and marveled at faith. So both things make God marvel. Unbelief and faith. He saw a kind of unbelief in his own time. He felt, I've never seen this kind before. This one is branded. You get it? He saw faith. He said, wow, this man understood the principle of faith. Because you know what? If Jesus goes to his house, Jesus will still use words. Isn't that true? So he said, you know, wow, I have not seen this before. No, not in Israel. So Jesus identifies a faith principle in healing. And we'll come into that because that's what we're teaching, faith and healing. Now notice how faith and healing were related in the Bible. In Acts 3, the very first miracle of healing in the book of Acts, when Jesus rose from the dead. He said, go ye unto all, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be condemned. Acts 16. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Said they will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, shall not hurt them. Verse 18 says they will lay hands on the sick and the sick shall recover. So here is it. They therefore went forth, verse 20, preaching the word and everywhere, the Lord walking with the word, you know, confirming the signs and wonders following. But in Acts 3, you find Peter healed the sick. He laid hands on the crippled man at the beautiful gate. Now look at how we explain it in verse 16. And his name, through what? Faith. In his name has made this man strong, whom you see and know, yea, the faith which is by him. So he identifies faith in the healing. Notice Peter's, or maybe John too, first miracle, faith. Now move forward a bit and let's see our man Paul, his first recorded healing miracle. Paul came out in Acts 13 and he preached, and there was nothing, no mention of miracles in Acts 13. Not one mention. Acts 14 was the very first miracle, and interestingly, he got the other side, you know, he was persecuted. I've said it many times, there is no supernatural ministry that doesn't get persecuted. If you like, preach motivation, preach economy, preach success, preach those things. People don't come after you, really. But by the time they start seeing the gifts of the Spirit in operation, you will find a whole lot of persecution rises against it. Go check the Bible. I'll tell you why. Because the supernatural ministry, when it comes to healing miracles, always drives out demons. So they go and inspire persecution, false reports, you know, they stir up things against you. You listen to what I'm talking about. Come on, you follow me what I'm talking about? Can you imagine? That's how it happens. So, remember, when they had that great conversion in Acts 3, nobody's noticed them. They knew them. The two times that Peter was put in jail, he was about to be put in jail, in Acts 4, when he was taken because of a miracle. In Acts 5, himself and John were taken because of a miracle. Two times. So, in Acts 3, now Paul had the very first miracle Paul had. Verse 6, they were aware of it, and fled into Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lied about, round about, and there they preached the gospel. And there sat a man at Lystra, he put in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. Same heard Paul preaching, and let's take verse 9 together. Same heard Paul speaking, who steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had what? He had what? So there's faith again mentioned in Paul's first healing miracle. So you've got to learn faith and healing. You hear this? Did you hear this? Notice that Jesus didn't say to the centurion, have not found faith and not so great faith. In other words, all the other folks who had healing had faith, but hasn't happened seen this kind before. So faith was present in how we minister. Faith and healing are subjects that must be known. Like I said, Brother Hagin said, it's either you need it for yourself or for somebody you know. For yourself or for someone you know. Faith was used by Jesus. Notice this is key. Primarily for two things. I'll say that one more time. Faith was used by Jesus primarily for two things. Two times. One and most dominant was forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness of sins. You see him use it a lot of times. Forgiveness of sin. In Luke 7 and Luke 5 for us. Luke 5. The man taken with palsy that was brought through the roof. And he said in verse 20, the Bible says in verse 20, Luke 5:20, and when he saw their faith, Luke 5:20, when he saw their faith, he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven you. Man, your sins are forgiven you. Now mark something in 24 because we're coming to it. I'll start from 22. And they began to say, who is this man that speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? That's verse 21. Then he said, what reason do you have in your heart? Verse 23. Whether it is easier to say thy sins be forgiven you or to say rise up and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power upon the earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, rise and take up that couch and go into thy house. Which one is easier now? Alright, let me leave that. I've asked that question a couple times. So which one was easier? Rise up and walk? Or your sins are forgiven? What did you just say? Rise up and walk? Sins are forgiven? That's a lecture that doesn't want you to pass. He said, he saw their faith and he said, your sins are forgiven. Look at chapter 7 quickly. We'll get there. Remember that woman? In verse 48, the woman that's a prostitute who was identified later as Mary. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And then he said at the meet with him, began to, when the wisdom that forgives sins also, said, your faith has saved thee, go in peace. Again, he mentions faith in forgiveness of sins a whole lot of times. You find him as many as believe. So, forgiveness of sins, which you can call salvation, was the primary way, first and foremost way, Jesus used faith. The second coming just after it is healing. So, if he mentions faith, listen carefully now, 10 times, listen carefully, 6 times will be for healing. Sorry, forgiveness of sins. 3 times for healing. Once for other things, like, why did you doubt? When he rescued them in Mark's Gospel chapter 4, you know, and they say, we carry ourselves that we perish. But 3 times healing, 6 times forgiveness of sins or salvation, and 1 time other things. Or he spoke to the fig tree. So salvation, this is interesting, you know. I wrote some in my notes. Maybe I should write, let me tell you what I did. Sorry, that's the way I think. So salvation and healing are bodies. You know what bodies are? B-U-D-D-I-E-S. They're friends. That's what I wrote here. I said, I don't know what I was thinking when I wrote this. Salvation and healing are bodies. They're friends. You can know who you are in Christ and what belongs to you. But brother and sister, you need to know faith and healing. Is that okay? Okay. Faith and healing. You need to equally know faith and healing. The emphasis in this, so we're going to do a lot of studies on the faith in the individual cases, like I've told you many times, I'll close here. The individual cases explain the collective. You hear that? The individual cases oftentimes explain the collective incidences, the crowd. So, and the reason why it's vital to understand faith and healing is this. You will not always have a healing meeting. You get it? You will not always have healing meetings. Cannot happen every time you have sickness coming to you. Healing meetings will not always happen every day. But healing is available every day. So that's why we need to study the subject of faith and healing. Say faith and healing. Say one more time, faith and healing. How does faith work? Faith and healing. And like I also said earlier, Brother Higgins said, you either need this for yourself, primarily, or for someone that you know. Praise God. Either for yourself or for someone that you know. Yes, back to my wife. We were married then. And then we went for a meeting. And then she had this bout of sickness and, you know, and I said to her, well, so it's unfortunate that you got to, we were going for the session. I said, you know, I'm not going to say sorry to you. So you know why? You know, I said, you know the word of God. You get a hold of it. And so she went to the room. I didn't go to see her throughout. She left the meeting. So, because you cannot live by sorry. Sorry? Just gives you a good feeling. Sorry has never healed the sick before. So we have so many sorries on your phone that are enough to make you a millionaire. You understand? So many sorry. Oh, sorry, I can't make it. Sorry. I said, you got to get a hold of the word for yourself. I mean, for yourself. You heard me preach. You've seen me. You've seen others. Then you're going after me. We left that state and I left her behind. She's alive. She's in this place. You can look at her in the back. Praise God. Follow what I'm saying. He said, you learn faith and healing for yourself. It's not every time you're going to have a healing meeting. Now someone lay hands on you. Praise God. Imagine. And many times when people will get to that, but see, you learning faith and healing for yourself is so vital. Remember one thing she told someone years back? We should be in the same church then. Ladies always down with, headache, I have backache, I have menstrual pain, I have this. She said something that very instructive. She said, if you keep saying this, I have this, you know, I'm down, I'm strong, other people know faith and healing, they all know, they know denial. I'm strong, I was very strong. Oh, you know, the judges, I was very strong. How much should I have got? I said I was very, very strong. I mean strong! Strong! He said, if you do like this, uneasy like this, what if a more deadlier sickness will come? The doctors will say there's nothing we can do. You look at the doctors now, you feel, what did you just say? I've seen doctors twice look into my eyes and say, this is incurable. If you're human, it will do on you. The very first time when I heard that, I was scared for my life. I was so young. And the man was the same doctor who helped me come to this world. He was about to do a second duty. You know, doctors have a way of saying, it's really, really. So this is so emotive. Not the ones on Nollywood now. This is emotive. So this is unemotive. Yep. And I said, no, I'm not going to go anywhere. I don't know how to give up. Praise God. As I know. But I could see there was a lot of scare. There's nothing we can do. So we can just manage it. Nobody say we just manage it. Let's see what we can do. The second time, I responded there. Because when you have a miracle, it boosts your confidence for another one. I said, I will be here. And I was smiling. But I'll tell the truth. Inside me, I was going, again. But I now learned faith. I said, I'll be healed. The man said, you don't understand what I'm saying. I said, no, you don't understand what I'm saying. Praise God. Because it was a faith fight. Praise God. It's still out there. So you need faith for yourself or for someone. I say, you don't say, I have understood faith and healing. Some of you practice every day. Praise the Lord. You get what I'm talking about? You blessed this evening? Give God praise and thank you. Healing is mine. In the name of Jesus.